2023 at 7:06 p.m. This is the adequate notice of this meeting as required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 6, 2023, which was posted on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Roll call.
Mr. Robert Atwood?
Here.
Mr. Lou Ethicoff?
Here.
Mr. Michael Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Constance Hurstrom?
Here.
Mr. Stephen Mocker?
Here.
Mr. Joseph Trammell?
Here.
And Mayor Peggy Malkin?
Here.
Why am I Lou and everybody else is?
Louis.
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 Luigi.
Sorry about that, Lou.
I told you about it and you wouldn't believe it.
Okay.
Tell him my real name.
Eliezer.
I wouldn't be able to pronounce it.
Okay. I'd like to open the meeting by talking about what happened here last week, what happened last Wednesday. So, as I said, I'd like to talk about the incident that happened last week. I think we're all aware that a horrible tragedy occurred last Wednesday. The woman who died, her name was Judy Hanen. She lived in Roosevelt for about the last 15 years, and she was a very gentle soul. She was a quiet woman who loved her cats and all other animals. She was a pet sitter for a living. Animals were her life. She was rather private, but she did have a good circle of friends and neighbors who cared about her. Her actions resulted in a horrendous situation and one that caused a series of dangerous and upsetting issues. It was the action of a desperate person. I wrote a rough copy and had every intention of writing it over really well, but I never had a chance, so it's kind of scribbled here. So it was the action of a desperate person, and as I and others stood at the scene, it was difficult to comprehend what was unfolding before us. Most of us were facing something we had never experienced before, and certainly nothing in our town had ever happened like that. However, when I had time to think about it the next day and rehash the events in my mind, I realized something interesting. I think we all know that we're living in a time of great upheaval and change. The last 3 years have been particularly stressful, but I believe it goes back even farther than 3 years. And as I watched the huge gathering of firefighters, EMTs, police, government officials, utility workers, neighbors, so on and so on, I was struck by something. All of these people came together to remedy the situation. There were so many facets to it, putting out the fire, evacuating neighbors, searching for the cats, and of course handling the death of Judy, and on and on. Everyone at the scene knew their role and went to work. It was a cold, raw day, and it was not easy to be outside. And as I watched everyone, it occurred to me that we didn't know each other's political views, religions, ethnicities, economic status, or any other information that causes the anger and divisiveness that is so pervasive in our culture now. It was just people coming together to take care of each other and do what needed to be done. That realization lightened my heart and made me realize that in some ways we're all very lucky. At the foundation of it, we saw people of every background helping each other simply for the sake of helping. That was the one bright light in this horrible event. On that note, I want to thank and recognize and honor some of the many, many people who contributed to remedying the situation. If I forgot anyone, I sincerely am sorry. I would like to read a list of some of the people and entities that contributed to helping us on Wednesday. So first I'd like to thank the Millstone Fire Department, Fire and First Aid. That's Chief Jeff Wagner, Assistant Chief Sean McManus, Captain Mike Maloney, Captain Mike Wagner, Captain Keith Buckaloo, Captain Alan South, Captain Dallas Smith, firefighter Darryl Riley, firefighter Joe Howell. Well, the rest of the names are firefighters. Nick Kraus, Mark Maines, Andrew Hagenberg, Joseph Parento, Tim Byrne, Craig Lewis, Steve Coaster, LeVar Wright, James Aspercolis, Michael Merritt. We also had on scene the New Jersey State Police, the New Jersey Division of Fire Safety, the Monmouth County Office of Emergency Management, the Monmouth County Fire Marshal's Office, the Monmouth County Highway Department, Monroe Township Fire District Number 2, the Hope Fire Company, East Windsor Fire Company Number 2, and East Windsor Fire Company Number 1, Robbinsville Fire Department, Plainsboro Fire Department, Cranberry Fire Department, Hamilton Township Fire Department, New Egypt Fire Department, Cassville Fire Company, Manalapan Township Fire Company Number 2, Freehold Township Independent Fire Company, Naval Weapons Station Earl Fire Department, Wanwasa Fire Department, Squanqum Fire Department, Adelphia Fire Company, Capital Health EMS, Freehold EMS, and Middlesex County Regional Medical Examiner's Office. It's a lot of people who came to Roosevelt to help each other, to help us, and to help all the people who are affected by this. And I just want to extend, on behalf of the borough, our extreme gratitude and appreciation and thanks. And they made a horrible situation easier for us.
Okay. I would like to make a comment about her. She was my dog sitter for a couple of years. And I tell you, she's just a gentle soul. She was just very lost. She had difficulties. It's too bad.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to open the floor for public comment on agenda items only. 7:14 p.m. Is there anyone from the public who would like to comment about anything that's on the agenda? Okay, I'll close the public portion, being no one wants to speak. It's 7:14. Correspondence, we have a letter dated January 6, 2023. 26. Is that what I said?
You said 6.
Oh, 26. 2023, from New Jersey Office of the Attorney General, Division of State Police, Emergency Management Section, regarding approval of the Roosevelt Borough Local Emergency Operation Plan, which you all have in your file. And our plan was approved. Next, we have the ordinances. Second reading of Ordinance 2023-01. An ordinance repealing and replacing current code section 12-5, registration and maintenance of vacant and abandoned residential properties in foreclosure, with new section 12-5, vacant and foreclosed properties registration within chapter 12, property maintenance of the borough's revised general ordinances to update regulations pertaining to vacant properties within the borough to comport with newly adopted state law. Do I have a motion?
Yeah.
Second?
Well, I'll second it.
This, unfortunately, did not get advertised.
Oh, this
properly.
Is the right.
So no. We didn't have our 7 full days.
Yeah, we need to table this.
Right.
So, do
second,
I have a motion
second,
to it?
Reading will be the next meeting.
Next meeting.
Which
yeah.
Will be
yeah.
March 20th.
March 20th. Oh, I haven't.
Yeah, no, the Asbury Park Press didn't print it quickly
so
enough.
First reading,
so can I have a motion?
No, we had first reading last meeting.
Oh, okay.
This is
okay.
The second, but okay. Unfortunately it has to be postponed till March 20th.
Oh, okay.
So, can I have
so
a
we're
motion?
Carrying over the public we're hearing till next.
Yeah, because it hasn't been published.
I move we table this till the next meeting.
Second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
No, I'm going to do a roll call.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right.
Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Essikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just going to read that the public hearing is going to be held on March 20th, 2023 at 7 p.m. at the Borough of Roosevelt, 33 North Rochdale Avenue, Roosevelt, New Jersey, 08555. Thank you.
Consent agenda resolutions, we just have one tonight, which is payment of bills for March 6, 2023.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Roll call?
Okay, so this is, you didn't read the resolution number, so I'm just going to state it.
Okay.
So this is motion to adopt resolution 23-38. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertzstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Trammell?
Yes.
Resolution 23-38 is adopted. Reports of committee chairs. Councilmember Atwood, Environmental Health and Safety.
Well, I just during the week, and I was just handed the speed reduction technique book that we ordered. So so I had a couple of copies made, so I will be looking this over and then putting together the committee of concerned citizens and anybody else on the council, and then start that process and see what we want to come up with in terms of adopting the speeding throughout the town.
Thanks, Bob.
Did you
peruse it? Is it interesting reading?
don't read it before while you're in bed.
Yeah.
So just remember, you can only have three committee members.
Council members.
Right.
Sorry.
Okay, Councilmember Esikoff, administration.
We met regarding the use of the building, and we did come to an agreement on the ordinance, changing some wording on the ordinance, and the rental form. And then, unfortunately, Anna did not have time today to print it. We did retype it, so it'll be in the next meeting. But I think it satisfies everybody's needs.
Thank you, Lou.
But I will say this. I'd like to remind the people that are sitting here at the table who are members of the arts group that when it comes to discussing this, I think you have to recuse yourself, folks, because you have a conflict of interest.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That's most of the council.
I know.
And you voted out, but I'll lose, but I'll do it anyway.
So this is the thing.
Depends on what you're going
to
okay, there's been a lot of discussion about using the council room as an event space.
I think I've written an ordinance for this at some point.
Right, and they want to make some changes.
But they want to make some changes.
Great, okay.
But the committee will make its recommendations, which it has some already. When it comes, but it pretty much solely has to do with rap, because most of what's involved centers around rap activities, not the general public. So Lou feels that the rap members should recuse themselves from the vote when it comes to a vote.
How many rap
three
members are there?
Three.
But we're making public.
And one honorary.
I disagree in a way, because we're making public policy about the facility's use. And even though some of the issues that came up as a result of the use of Borough Hall by RAP, this use of Borough Hall is by everybody, parties, citizens, Tai Chi, other groups too. So I think in general, if I had to vote on an expenditure or a charge that had to do with RAP or something specifically, I would definitely recuse myself. But if it's policy, it's about anybody who uses the building.
Well, what's the substance of the ordinance changes don't give like special treatments or RAP,
no.
Do they?
So
they're rules of general basically rules of general application for anyone who comes to use the building. They happen to have arisen because one of the bigger uses of the building is RAP.
Okay.
But I don't think that's a concurrent conflict. Just like for example, people were members of a house of worship in the town, and you vote to improve that street and do the sidewalks in front of the house of worship. You're not just doing it for them, right? But if you have an issue where we have to grant a right of way, they want to grant us a right of way from that house of worship, and some of you are members of that, officers of that, then that would be a conflict.
Right.
But if you're just making general rules for everybody, I don't think it's a conflict, although, you know, you guys are elected officials, so the appearance of whatever you're doing is you'd have to own that on your own, outside of legalities.
But when you, but when you're discussing it, and the people who are members of RAP, who are on the council, are discussing only their issue, that becomes, I think that becomes the...
The appearance of that is not ideal. You know, the appearance of that is not ideal. Right? The appearance of that is not ideal, just like when any legislature makes rules that particularly affect the group that they're a part of. But if they have general application, you're not especially treating that. Like if, for example, if you're going to vote here to make a donation to RAP, clearly anyone here is an officer of RAP can't vote to make a donation to their own organization. Right? But if you're making, you know, a general rule of application that applies to anybody, I assume that the ordinance change you're talking about speak in terms of, like, nonprofit status.
No, it doesn't. It speaks
so it's not even that
only to organizations that are active and viable in the borough.
Well, so borough organizations is what you're
talking about. Borough organizations.
Okay, well, there's a Cub Scouts or whatever.
Right, exactly.
I mean, if it applies to everyone who comes through the door, then I don't think there's a conflict, particularly on that. Although your objection is noted as to the appearance of it, certainly, if that's the biggest user in the room.
But
the elected, you know, well, that's everyone own, their own elected official's decision as to what they want to do on that.
By the way, since it's retirement, it also speaks to specifically leaves out, not by name, but by omission, leaves out any outside groups. We're not going to rent it out.
Outside
groups. Well, we generally never have.
To people outside,
of
non-residents?
Yeah.
Right.
Non-residents.
Yeah, I mean, generally.
That's okay.
Well, generally.
This isn't a beach. It's okay.
Yeah, well, we never have, Lou. I mean, I don't ever remember anybody using
it. I think in my time, I think it happened twice.
Well, maybe not.
But nobody objected, but considering what we have done, what you as leader have done to the building and everything else, I think that it's enough that we have it for our own groups.
Well, I believe
that's okay for this building. You couldn't do that with a park,
right?
Because that's different. That's Green Acres or a beach, which is government rules.
Outside different. Council. Yes, of course.
We have to approve anybody that comes here anyway.
Right.
There's two on here tonight.
Right.
So as we approve who comes and goes from this building, if they're outsiders and we don't want them, we'll say no.
Well, that was never an issue. We very rarely have anyone from the outside ask to use it, if ever.
So, like, that's a good example. Like, when RAP applies to use the building, like, if you're a RAP member, an officer of RAP, you shouldn't vote on that application. That's a good example of a specific concurrent conflict.
Now, I'm not a member of RAP. However, I have recorded video games.
You're an honorary member.
No different than if you volunteer to be a chaperone at the Cub Scouts, right? The issue is whether the people there are, you know, card carrying members or officers, particularly as a big trigger.
Cards, not me.
Well, I'll give you an example. Yeah. The Elks, right? Yeah. That's the biggest example. Every Elk, I have one in my wallet, right? I'm an Elk. So if the Elk comes to Aberdeen and wants to use a public park, and I'm a councilman, so the day is I recuse myself because I'm a card carrying member of the Elks.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, this issue has come up for the last 30 years on almost every public body that I've been on, because we're all such a small town and we're all involved in so many things. There's a small handful of volunteers, and those volunteers are all involved in lots of different organizations.
Well,
because, you know, this is just what we do. We have the time to do it. We do it.
Right.
So it becomes really difficult because, you know, what's a conflict and what's the standards? And I think you're right. It does have to do with, if you feel that you have a dual allegiance here and you're kind of, for instance, regarding RAP, if you feel like you have a tendency to want to do something because of RAP, however, you also have the, you know, you have to protect the borough property, and you're split like that, I think you have a moral obligation, an ethical obligation to say, you know, I think I have a conflict of interest, a personal conflict, even though it's not financial. And perhaps you
right,
might
that was what I was alluding to.
You know,
right.
Yeah. And the, ballot box and the appearance right. of it is really important to the public, too. So,
well, at some
okay.
point, there may
I think
be
it's a good point.
I just made a point.
It's
a good point.
In this room.
Okay.
So at that point, they should recuse themselves?
Yeah, if it's a specific application of something you're an officer of and you hold both titles, whether it was it's the baseball league and they want to use a park and they're applying for permits for that park, you should recuse on that if you're an officer of the baseball league. So same rules apply to the RAP. The specific application about RAP and three of your board members, you know, recuse are still a
well, I asked about when it comes time at some point to vote on council funding for some RAP events, then the members should recuse themselves for that.
Okay.
But we don't have any council funding for RAP events, do we?
Well, I understand that there's some talk about the rail system and council.
Yeah, I think in committee we were talking about it just being a RAP donation
to make it
straightforward. You know.
Okay. Well, so in the future we know, though, if it has anything to do with expenditures, then the recusal should
depend. I just want to make a point, that's all.
Okay.
Thank you.
I want to make a point that I am not a member of RAP. Okay?
Okay.
So who were the three?
Oh,
I think you said three.
Oh,
reveal
right.
yourselves.
So I guess there's just two.
Well, there's actually just two of us
right.
who are on RAP, but the other ones have affiliations.
Somebody who's affiliated.
Right. Well, I'm affiliated, you know, and I don't get paid to be affiliated, so.
There's no such thing as getting paid in this town.
I know. Well, Greg gets paid.
Yeah. Well,
when I say affiliated.
Well, I am the lawyer, so.
Well, and Kathleen gets paid. She's the clerk, but that's about it. All right, let's move on. Councilmember Hamilton, finance.
Well, we haven't had a finance committee meeting, but it's getting near that time where we'll have to start thinking about and talking about the municipal budget for the upcoming year. And I do think we put a feeler out to George Lang to see if he's available for a committee meeting. And there's some things that, and I'll make it really brief, that I think we ought to consider funding. And it has to do with some security equipment for the borough. And I won't get into the details because that could be something that you don't want to compromise security by talking about
security.
Places where there may not be adequate security, not at a public meeting. So, but there's some things that I think we ought to consider funding just to protect the borough. So that meeting should be coming up within the next few weeks, I hope. And then we'll take it from there.
Also, I don't remember, did we announce that the audit has been done?
Yeah, the last meeting.
The last meeting, was it?
Right, and you passed the resolution.
Yeah.
All right.
So
all right. Done.
Yeah, so we're compliant with the audit.
We said that last meeting.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Councilmember Hurstrom, Community Development Code Enforcement.
Okay, just to report on the FDR committee, that we're looking to redo it. And where we are in that process right now is we've had proposals in, we're checking references, and we have another meeting before the March 20th to select the one that we want to use and to present to the council. So that's where we are on that. And then for the Roosevelt Senior Group, we did meet, you know, on Sunday, a few of us, to try to start that and to gather information. So we'll continue to report on that as we go along.
Were you able to contact some of the older or former members?
I personally did not, but Mary Tullis, I talked with her extensively about the types of programs they had, who was involved, and she had talked to Jerry Millar.
Yeah.
And so we're going along to see if we can resurrect, you know, anyone who was there and the treasure, you know, of that.
It was a really thriving, active, wonderful group that then they never missed a meeting until COVID and some deaths.
Yes.
Really.
Mary did say that probably had a lot of Millstone residents that would come. sometimes it was more than the ones in Roosevelt.
I know. I would pop in here and there.
And they met in Borough Hall? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Outsiders.
Yeah. Yeah.
They joined the borough. They joined the.
I think it's mutual.
It was sponsored by us.
Well, okay. you don't want to kick them out. You never want to have a conflict with seniors because you get your ass kicked.
Okay.
End of report.
Yes.
Council Member Mocker, Public Works. Okay.
Everything's working.
Well, it's never does.
He was too busy finding a matching shirt to like to his public work duties.
That was easy.
Oh my God!
You didn't notice that?
Yeah,
I called them the twins.
I know.
Twins.
Whoa.
I think Mike should take off his vest so they really.
Uniform. Yeah.
Okay. Councilmember Trammell, Utilities.
First, I want to know from Steve what those little orange marks are all over town now. Is this...
Marked.
Don't worry about it.
An invasion of the orange dots.
Right? Tim, down the street...
Hartley
wants to... well, and the Environmental Committee wants to... put in like stream gauging markers, and we felt rather than just put rulers up and see how far up and down the water goes, we'll tie them into a benchmark and tie them all together. So they're going to be turning points when Tim gets around to hold the rod for me, so I can run level net around town.
Your stick man.
Yeah. So well, I was nice. Just yeah, yeah. Kind of preparing for that operation.
Okay. So you're mapping the beaver pond, right, as I call it now, right?
Pond? You have an ocean.
Now, yeah, the ocean is he has some pictures.
Well, yeah.
They want to put at several locations, almost like a gauging station, to see how the water level changes. They're going to keep track of it.
Okay.
And
okay.
This is to, you know, rather than just have an arbitrary ruler that says, okay, the water went up 2 feet, we'll have them all tied together so we'll know exactly, you know,
which
what elevations
the,
they're at.
Which portion the beavers are pumping out, as it were.
Okay. Yeah, so okay. That's all that was.
Okay, cool. Very nice.
Do we know when they're coming?
For the beavers?
Coming from, because at this point, you know, we lost our two community pools, but the beavers have a giant, I mean, there's so many of them. They're completely unafraid of humans now. They're just, you know, splashing
yeah,
about.
Well, okay.
Big, little, medium, at all times of day. There's just, we don't have pools, but they have a great pool. I mean, it's, there's, and the water, I mean, there's, it's not a stream anymore. It's, I don't even know how to describe it.
Listen, don't try to swim there. You don't swim underneath it for long. You can't stay under the water long enough.
Stick a toe in there. Are you kidding? It's like, so do we know when, Joe, what was his name? Brandon?
Brandon is the beaver catcher.
Right. Do we know when he plans on?
At this point, they are leaving North Valley Road to us. That's our property, and it's
so the bike path.
The bike path is what I call the beaver pond.
That's what I call the beaver ocean.
Right, right.
Brandon is independent. He doesn't
Brandon
work
is
for
an independent guy.
DEP.
Right.
He has a trapper's license to catch beavers.
Right.
The state
but I thought the state
commission.
Asked us to get rid of them.
Well, no. The state wildlife, Fish and Wildlife, Mike Patrick, I think his name is. They have the Assumpic, and we have this little pond here.
Right.
And in my daily sojourns to the pond, I haven't found one person that said that they don't want the beavers there. Maybe there's kind of half of the set, but most people seem to be okay.
I mean, it doesn't bother me. I just didn't know how much it was going to affect the water.
No, it's to me, I want to talk to Ellen, actually, and see whether we should bring this beaver trapper here, aside from the stuff that he traps beavers and does with them. He knows beavers like the back of his hand. And if he were to look at our situation here, maybe he can give us an idea of how safe beavers are around people. They seem to go away from everybody.
Yeah, if you go near them, they jump underwater.
Yeah. So it seems like it's safe. I mean, the school has trips to go see
beavers. Oh, it's the local entertainment.
Yeah, the dogs like to look at them.
Well, I asked Ellen recently, and she told me there were good things about the beavers being there and negative things about the beavers.
So,
do
you
want to
get this guy to come and maybe talk to the public?
Talk to you first, and maybe me or whomever, the Environmental Commission, and just give us an idea of what we should know about having local beavers. How's that?
And if there's a way to actually give them a contract where we would like the channeling?
Yeah, if you could.
To them willy-nilly making up their own decisions.
Can they work with Carmella on that?
I think they're really good engineers.
Have you seen beavers. That house? Their house? I would climb in there for
let's
protection
call it
from
a
the
lodge so
from
we
the weather. That's an amazing
here.
House, and it's huge.
Well, they have a half-mile dam, as Steve saw, third of a mile to a half a mile on the Assumpink. And so since the Assumpink folks, about 10 of them, went down to the sewer plant and walked from the sewer plant about half a mile to the large dam, and they poked holes in it. And so far, it's working. It's between the beaver deceiver that they have. Today it's even better. It's been raining lately, so but it's working. You know.
Can they build speed humps?
maybe.
Fell a couple of trees across the road.
Oh,
speed humps.
No.
It just doesn't work because they'll figure things out.
Well, have you ever
out.
Seen the man? He's an engineer from MIT who sets up, he spends his life building elaborate squirrel proof things, and he's no match, ever.
Yeah.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4.
This is the Blue Channel. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4.
That to show you that you can count.
Yeah,
gang on that. Yeah.
This is the Green Channel. 1, 2.
Okay, it's going up here, so we'll just leave this one.
Yeah, sometimes
this
doesn't record properly, though.
Okay. All right.
Well,
we'll work on this next week.
3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4. Good.
You guys look like me on the copy machine.
Okay.
The beaver situation around the sewer plant seems, the water seems to be coming down. Mike's backyard looks like the water's down a little bit. That's it. And the T-Mobile people are still working on the transmitter shack at the water tower.
Okay.
So that's it for me.
Thank you.
Right, we got one more, and then we're going to try this one. Yeah,
this is the fresh one.
Should I wait?
The fresh one, yes.
inside.
My kids up in the cold rain. It's just the worst. It's like half of January, February.
Yeah.
No, okay. Right, so okay. Soon, I have to change the suit for the night because my pant legs are so.
It's why I like a lot. Oh no, I forgot to change to my
Okay.
shoes.
So we're recording up here. Okay.
Okay, we'll resume.
Sorry.
So reports of borough officials.
Wait, sorry, were you done?
Yes, the beavers are back. Happening in the Assunpink, and the local beavers seem to be happy.
They are happy. They are swimming and frolicking.
And the T-Mobile people are putting their transmitter shack up with the water tower stuff.
Okay.
And the AT&T part of the water tower, the hasp for the lock is broken off, so AT&T should come over and put a chain and a hasp or something.
Do they know that? Has anyone relayed that to them?
I let Anna know and Greg know this past couple of months, two or three times. It's going to go to AT&T at this point.
Okay. You know.
Or we'll put our own lock on it, and they'll have to come and ask us for the key.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
That'll
that's
work. Okay. Reports of borough officials. Ellen, is there anything you wanted to? Don't forget name and address.
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. Well, as you know, April 22nd is Earth Day, and we have celebrations planned. I hope that you can come proclamation and plant a tree again.
Absolutely, did it last year.
Is that microphone in front of
me? Oh, no. Flip it on. Sorry.
Push the switch.
All the way to the top.
Twice.
Got it. Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
All right.
Who are you again?
When is Earth Day? Sorry.
Ellen Silverman, 10 North Valley. Earth Day is April 22nd. Okay. I have just gotten approval, not on the mic, that Peggy will come and plant a tree that day.
Yeah.
And hopefully you'll be seeing proclamation to vote on before that day. We also partnered again this year with the Wetland Institute with a stream cleanup. You can sign on at the Wetland Institute website. Those who do sign up, this year they're giving out a little tree sapling for everybody who signs up. And the Environmental Commission's also ordered trees from the New Jersey Forestry Nursery. And we're going to get little bayberry saplings, one for each student at the school. And some for whoever wants to plant a bayberry in town. So you have a chance of, if you bring your whole family, a forest. So
good.
Come and help clean the stream. Hopefully soon I can work with you, Peggy, and Greg to get a new contract for a forester so we can get the tree inventory, someone to come and do that tree inventory and take...
Try again.
Yeah. Because it will run out. The money will run out. And we will not have that service for that grant if we don't act. And also on Earth Day, I'm working with the school for activities that the children... I know the third grade is going to be having a little poster of... a writing assignment they'll have about the value of trees. So, and I'm working with a few other teachers about having other activities.
So, Ellen, when is the clean the stream?
Yes, yeah, stream cleanup.
When is that?
April 22nd,
See,
birthday.
22nd.
Yeah.
Which stream are you cleaning?
I'm going to do the ones we can get to. The ones behind Pine... what I've heard last year was they can't get to it. You know, it's too overgrown in many places.
Okay.
I would like it if if we if you know areas that can be cleaned over there.
I used to do mine myself about a quarter mile up and a quarter mile down.
Mm-hmm.
So if when you guys decide to do this, if I could maybe have a couple of people, because I can't do it myself anymore.
Yeah.
And we could walk it towards Rochdale, and we could walk it towards...
The way I have been trying to do it
is
set up sectors and have someone who leads that sector.
Right.
We do try to include the school kids, and some sectors are not appropriate for kindergartners, and some are. So, you know, like, let's go into those rose bushes and get the trash is not going to work.
Do you walk in the creek itself and the water and remove branches and debris from the creeks? Or
the group I led did not.
That's what I used to do.
Yeah.
Well, so,
I have a lot of respect for you, Joe, but I'm not going to necessarily ask people to walk into the creek.
Well, with waders and stuff like that. Also, while you're up there, with the beaver, the local beaver situation, is there anybody here that has heard negativeness about the beavers? Or, I mean, should we try to get
I walk my dog there every day, and there's an audience. Everyone comes
I
to watch the beavers.
Instead of meeting at the post office, people meet at the beaver place.
I think it has been very much of an educational kind of... The town seems to have adopted these beavers.
Yeah.
And I get the impression that we have a routine of going to look for the beavers, and the beavers come out to look at us.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah. Okay, so I will get in touch with Brandon, the beaver guy, and I'll ask him what he thinks about meeting some people at the beaver pond, I'll call it, and give us advice on pros and cons of beavers, since he knows them pretty well.
That would be great. It's always good to have input like that. You know, a lot of people said, "Oh, I watched all these shows on about beavers," and many of them, many of those nature shows are very positive about beavers. They don't necessarily positive about the trees that are near where the beavers can get.
What trees?
Yeah.
But beavers are like, they're gone.
And if you like had maybe wood that you wanted the bark stripped off, just leave it a little bit by the stream. They'll handle it.
Now, they're pretty particular also about which ones they'll strip. You'll see there are trees there that are there, and the ash trees are gone. They'll take out the ash. Not the ash, the beech. The beech trees.
Beech.
Well, everybody has their own, things you like and things you don't like.
Yeah.
And, it's particular. He's a Rooseveltian.
Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you.
Thanks, Ellen.
I'll make that call.
Thank you. All right, we come to mayor's appointment. I have two. Well, it's not the public yet?
I'm sorry.
I thought you were tacking on to Ellen.
Two other capacities. One is that it's CDBG.
Yeah, Michael Tickson, 37 North Valley Road.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The CDBG committee, I told Connie about this already. One of the things we might want to do, I give her a copy of the application, is to make the application for the grant. Because up to now, I told them this year that I've been the chairman of it for a number of years. I told them I wouldn't be the chairman because the rule is that the chairman can't be also filing an application. I said we may be filing an application, so something we might want to look into in addition to doing the thing with the historic commission, do this with the CDBG. The other thing I wanted to bring up was that this is the, as I mentioned to Peggy, this is the 90th, this month is the 90th, March 4th, in fact, was the 90th anniversary of the inauguration of Franklin Roosevelt as president. And it's obviously a very significant thing in our own history, but for no other reason than because that the rush of legislation in Roosevelt's first 100 days included the National Industrial Recovery Act. The National Industrial Recovery Act, the symbol of which was the Blue Eagle, which we have on our flag, was the Title II of the Act, created the Subsistence Homesteads Program, which, and the 34 original subsistence homesteads, of which this was one, derive their legislative authority from that piece of legislation. So it's something that we ought to mark. The city of Santa Fe, New Mexico, has adopted a proclamation honoring the 90th anniversary. I just think that it would be nice if we could do the same thing. So Peggy said that the borough will be working on that, so we can do it this month. So,
how many of the 90 are still surviving?
Well, there are approximately 99. Not very many of them. Many of them seem to have... We tried to track them a few years ago.
Why some of them incorporated into larger towns? But
many of them were never separate towns to begin with. That was the thing. This was unusual in that it was a separate town. It became a separate town under New Jersey law. But most of the others are just parts of other municipalities. I know the one in Norvelton, which was Westmoreland Homestead, so just Norvelt, Pennsylvania, they seem to have tried to maintain. That's the one I've visited that... They seem to be very interested in preserving their history, and some of them are more or less. Some of them are just small. Really were just small housing projects, a handful of houses. So they really, this was one of the larger ones. So it gives you an idea that the 200 houses built here, 206 counting the pre-existing houses, was one of the very largest one of the house of the. Subsistence homesteads projects.
So all of that adds to the uniqueness of Roosevelt.
Yeah, it does. It does. That's right. Exactly.
Well, almost everything about this town is unique.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's
so
not
we,
like really. It's not
it
like
is, really.
Any other town.
It really is. Yeah. Yep. Okay.
We are unique.
Different.
Unique.
Special.
Yeah. Unique in good ways. Yeah. Hopefully.
Yes, I said special.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank
you. Okay. Now we come to Mayor's appointment. I have an appointment to make to the Environmental Commission, and that will be Ben Johnson, who officially, his name is Henry Ben Johnson, and he
was. I was wondering who that was.
Henry. Yeah, who knew? But so Ben Johnson will be part of the Environmental Commission now. he's going to be alternate number two, and he's fulfilling the unexpired term of Aaron Schneider. Erin Schneider is appointed as alternate number one because she's fulfilling the unexpired term of Dave Teich. And Dave Teich he's going for Nick, right?
Yeah, Dave Teich is going to be appointed
a regular member because he's fulfilling Nick Murray's seat. Nick Murray had to resign. So Dave Teich is taking Nick's seat, Erin Schneider is taking Dave's seat, and Ben is taking Erin's seat. Okay. And then I also have an appointment to the planning board with Tina Kaufman Marut, and she's going to be appointed as a Class 4 member, fulfilling the unexpired term of Jacqueline Carpenter, which ends December 31st, 2023. All right. Unfinished business, but do we need to discuss speed humps until you read your book
right.
and form the committee?
Well, Joan dropped.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that. This is, we've been talking speed humps here since this was from 2015.
Oh, really? Want to try, like, way? I remember when we passed a leash law because all the dogs were allowed to roam free in Roosevelt, and you just opened the door and let your dog out. And then once traffic started to increase and you had more UPS deliveries and FedEx, then I think Lou was on the council then, mm-hmm. and we passed law, and people were furious that they were going to have to actually walk their dog because you just had the dog's room. So we discussed speeding, I don't know, that must have been in the late 80s maybe? Or
this is from 2015.
Right, but I mean originally
that we were talking about it.
But we were concerned about speeding way back then. That's why we changed the law about the
sent a picture out today of virtual...
Yeah.
Kind of
that was
yeah, I've
great.
Seen those in all my
great.
Sort of stuff. I mean, there was, I saw one back then where there was a little girl riding a tricycle.
Right.
In the
middle
of
the
street.
And it looks like from a distance, like really somebody riding a tricycle. When
like
you get
left,
up to it,
yeah.
it's like
yeah.
20 feet long.
Well, even the painting looked 2D.
Yeah.
Didn't I mean,
right.
it really looked like...
Yeah.
But, you know, Steve said to me, that's a one-shot deal, though.
Yeah.
You know, you go and you see it, and then you know it's an illusion. You go, oh, I'm speeding right
by. Maybe. I think sometimes you would just stop for a second anyway, even though you know.
Yeah, bring your friends. Oh, look at what they got here. You know.
Right. They have a different illusion every time. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, most of the ideas are for, I think, for people who don't live in town. You can't do much for the people. The people who live in town, no matter what you do, they're gonna find a way
and
to go around.
And as the police
around.
Had told me,
right.
Most of your offenders are going to be local.
Right. So having that kind of painting or these kinds of things will scare somebody out of town because they'll shock them. I mean, I had thought of, and I didn't know that was talked about. You know, I had thought about that, which I'll bring up that committee is trying to do something with the school kids. You know, I thought that if they came up with some kind of signage that could be reproduced, if people saw that the kids cared, maybe that might help the people from town.
Well, the kids could put it on their lawn, so, I mean, every other house would be like, drive like your kids next year or something like that, you know, so.
So do you want that put on the next agenda?
I don't.
Under unfinished business?
Need a little more time.
Yeah,
it looks
perfect. not next time. Yeah,
next
time.
Okay.
Okay, new business. We have use of the Barrel Hall, a request to use the Barrel Hall by Rap for a poetry reading on April 1st. Is that a joke, or is there really a poetry reading that night? April 1st, 2023, from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m.
I'll move that.
Second?
Yes.
All in favor?
All right.
Go ahead.
I'll abstain.
Since
I'm on
let me do a roll call then. Mr. Atwood.
Abstain.
Mr. Ethicor.
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton.
Abstain.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
Mr. Tremell?
Yes.
Okey-doke.
But Greg, I mean, on something like this.
No, they're just being.
We knew it would pass.
I don't want people to think I don't like poetry. I mean, I'm in favor of poetry. I want that to be part of the public record.
Yeah, you know, I mean, obviously using the Barrel Hall in your day, of course, is different than making donations to them.
Well, poetry is like, you know, one man's poetry is another.
Well, boss, you say you can do anything you want. There's no
one
challenging.
One man's poetry is another man showing his ignorance.
Okay, we're going to open the floor for public comment at 8 on the dot, 8 o'clock. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak or ask any questions? Just identify yourself, please, and your address.
Good evening. My name is. Oops, lights on.
Good.
Good. Good evening. My name is Robert DeSogra. My wife and I, Suzanne, we live at 7 NERCO. And first of all, I want to thank Ellen for the lanternfly workshop that you did the other night. That was really nice. And I hope that more people come out if we do it again. We were not able to attend one of the February meetings when it was discussed about the marijuana farm that was being planned literally in our backyard. And from what we gathered from the audio recording, we understand that there was supposed to be a committee that was going to be appointed. And has that been done? And that was back in the early February, I think.
I personally was going to do it.
No,
Joe, but Peggy.
It's actually, it's kind of on hold because some of the laws have changed. Mm-hmm. And are different than they originally were. And so there are three farms in town that officially are able to grow cannabis mm-hmm. if they chose to, and if we change our ordinances. If everything worked out, there were, well, now it turns out that probably as of right now, two of the three farms cannot grow it. They cannot.
Well, that has been the law for a while.
No, they were allowed to grow it. Preserve farms were allowed to grow it in the beginning.
This is new.
Then the law changed. Right. So now they can't.
I voted the law.
So
I don't know. I'll read
hold
it
on.
Again.
Joe, preserve farmland cannot grow it, although they were able to at first. So it changes things a little, and the group of farmers who are interested in growing cannabis, I think are like rethinking and trying to figure out what to do next. So I think it will be on the agenda. We're going to have a representative here at our next meeting on March 20th. And he's from North Jersey, and he's on the Cannabis Regulatory Commission, I believe. And
He's going to give an overview, discuss advantages, disadvantages, benefits, non-benefits.
What's legal and what isn't legal?
Pardon me?
What is legal and what is...
Yep.
No, I think more having to do with town allowing it and what
that's
that entails.
Right.
Yeah. So he'll be here on the 20th if you'd like to, if you can come back. Mm-hmm. But I don't. Right now, I think it's not necessary for the committee to meet until we see what is happening with the laws and mm-hmm. the farmers. As I said, 2/3 of the farmers right now cannot grow it.
Okay.
So yeah,
there was some other discussion during the audio portion that we listened to that had to do with concerns about security and whether the cannabis was going to be grown indoors, and if it was, you know, what were the what the requirements for the building were, and the outlying area, you know, obviously where several homes are, including ours, for. Curious people to
I like that word.
Visitors.
Visitors,
hunters.
Yeah.
Hunters, okay, yeah.
Gatherers.
Gatherers.
Not
yeah.
hunters,
yeah.
gatherers.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Creepers.
And creepers. Yeah, so that was a concern that we had.
Yeah.
Clearly I respect and thank all of you for stepping up to address the concerns of the town, because these are concerns that are not new, that have been around in other towns around the country, and we can glean a lot of information from how they've handled it, and a small town like this, you know, there's obviously a lot more control, for lack of a better term, that we could exercise. And I mean, I grew up in New York, and we had a lot more people on my street than we have on Nerco Road. There were more bison across the street than I, you know. these were the concerns that we continue to have, and I wanted to put that out there to the council. For the small number of people that are on Nerco Road and where that area would be, but there were concerns for safety and security, and also the legality of it all. So I thank you all for stepping up and considering.
I encourage you to come to the next meeting on the 20th, as the representative will be here, and he can certainly answer some of your
questions
too, right?
Yeah.
Right, but it's sort of this just came up very recently.
Yeah.
Actually, I learned a lot more on yesterday, Sunday? Yeah, yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of in flux now with what the farmers and their next step.
I appreciate that. And I just wanted to thank you for stepping up on behalf of the town for with the news media last week with the fire. We saw all that. And we watched it from our front yard. We were able to see it, through the woods and stuff. So when we drove by later in the day, and the fire apparatus, they were still there. I don't know how long they were there until, but it's a different way to get onto the evening news. But now people know where Roosevelt is. So.
I said, what a way to get on the map.
What a way to get on the map. But thank you for
thank
all
you.
Of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Both.
Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to close public comment at 8:06. Do we need a closed session? We do. Okay. See, you need Ellen's shoes. See, Ellen's shoes. That's what you need.
Do I have a motion to provide for a private executive meeting that includes the public?
Motion. Thank you very much for coming by.
Yeah. Thanks. Good to see you.
We have a motion, please, for
resolution.
Have you seen them?
What'd you say, Bob?
Second.
Have you seen them? Go, go down and see them.
I have to read it.
You know, but I get up close and personal.
Just continue.
Whereas the Public Meetings Act, enacted October 21st, 1975, permits a public body to exclude the public from meetings and portions thereof wherein matters are to be discussed which are exempted from the requirement of the Act. And whereas the said Act requires that prior to holding of a meeting or portions thereof from which the public shall be excluded, the public body should adopt a resolution at a public meeting provided for the holding of a private meeting. And whereas the Borough Council of the Borough of Roosevelt has determined that a meeting should be held from which the public should be excluded in order to discuss the subject in which is exempted under the said act. Now, therefore, be resolved by the Borough Council as follows. That the next portion of the meeting to be held in private session, that the general nature of the matter to be discussed relates to the matters item falling under attorney-client privilege, update on reassignment MS4 Tier B to Tier A, that no official action will be taken at the meeting, but minutes shall be kept and shall be available to the public after official action of the subject matter has been taken. It is anticipated the discussion conducted in closed session can be disclosed to the public after no further action is required in this matter. So I need we already have a motion to adopt that resolution. Mm-hmm. Now I'm going to do roll call. Mr. Atwood?
Yes.
Mr. Esikoff?
Yes.
Mr. Hamilton?
Yes.
Ms. Hertstrom?
Yes.
Mr. Mocker?
Yes.
And Mr. Tremet?
Yes.
Okay, so we've got a pause. Put the mics on, please. Okay, we are out of closed session at 8:44 p.m. Okay.
Yeah, this works backwards and going the opposite way. All right, Lou, did you want to ask a question?
Yeah, what's going on with the farm?
From what I understand, the sale fell through.
What farm are we talking about?
The horse farm, that's Battelle's farm.
Ah.
Yeah, because online on Zillow, it's a contingent, I guess.
From what I understand, it fell through. And as a matter of fact, she was so certain that it was a done deal and that it was, you know, all finalized, that her tenants in the little house on her property,
they
moved onto my street. They rented a house, and now it turns out that they didn't have to, at least for a while, because the sale fell through. So I don't know. I know we can't discuss this now, but
Okay, could I?
Got the DEP.
Yeah. Can we send? I didn't realize that there were like 18 fire departments and everything from.
I'm
all
sending
of
a proclamation
to all.
Oh, everybody. Yeah, everybody.
Thank you.
I already discussed it. I discussed it with the police chief in Millstone. Could get that word. And
so you're going to have a proclamation at next
fire
meeting?
Chief.
It's late. I have an email. Yes, the fire chief.
Okay.
And
because they all came here. I'm like, oh
no.
God.
As a matter of
they
fact,
they all came here.
I'm not exact. I hope to have it done by the meeting on the 20th. But we also have the presentation by the man from the regulatory commission, the county.
Right.
So maybe we'll leave it till the first, because I'd like to invite everyone to come. Whether they will, I don't know, but I'd like to invite a representative from each of the
fill the
entities.
Room up with that.
Or are you kidding? It's like probably double our population here that night.
I called Mike Maloney and thanked him personally today.
Yeah.
He starts work again tomorrow.
There were three firefighters that were every day.
The one with the burnt face will be a little while.
Well, not his face, his upper shoulders. And
you can't shave.
I know.
He got burned?
Mike
didn't. Get burned. At least might have got burned.
Well,
but there's one firefighter that can't shave.
Three men were hurt.
Three
firefighters were hurt.
Oh,
my.
Somewhat. I don't, maybe severely is too strong a word, but they were hurt and they had to stay out of work. Mm-hmm.
He's on workman's comp until tomorrow. I think, so.
It was a very. The fire itself was a serious fire.
Finding a corpse, a burned corpse, is traumatic for.
Yeah, really.
And
this was not a pretty picture for anybody who had to go to the explosion.
So
I'm surprised she was in one piece.
Well,
really, that's no joke.
I don't know.
We won't get into that.
So anyway, yes, I had already discussed it, Joe, and I don't think it's quite enough time, 2 weeks, so I'm going to invite everyone for the first meeting in April.
Just as long as I get thank you notes from
it's
us.
Already in the works.
Keys to the city.
Say again?
Keys to the city.
Keys to the city. Bada bing, bada boom. Give them anything. I mean, they all rolled into this place. It's a little disorder.
If you're leaving,
they all rolled them. I mean, they really.
This room, but some
yes.
Oh, yeah.
That means we're.
Look at circumstances, I wouldn't go without a consolation.
Yeah, but we're well thought of.
Is there anyone else before I adjourn? The next meeting is Monday, March 20th. And
is that gentleman, do you have confirmation that he's going to be at that meeting?
Yeah.
he's going to be here.
Can we have a little bit of good and welfare tonight? Yeah.
What?
Something good and welfare. We used to call it good and welfare.
For the good
well,
of
I
world?
Talked about...
It was a positive.
Well, that's
oh,
why...
Oh, down a positive
well,
just
that's
to
why
say something about
well,
what
I,
we've all gone through.
I did. That's why I said...
I know. I just wanted to add
helping
something.
Helping everyone,
yeah.
You know.
I just wanted to add something, if I could, that there were a lot of citizens there helping out and talking to people who've been put out by this and so on, and it's just a great town. It just reminds me that you know everybody gets involved, not only all of us, and we've done a lot, and but you know neighbors helping each other out too.
That was good.
It's still that you know that Roosevelt thing, dinners arriving on your doorstep and that kind of thing, and people really caring about people, and there's going to continue to be, that's going to continue to be needed because. There's still a cleanup of the site, investigations that are going to have to be done and all that. So it's
I've been
take
in
a little
touch
while.
With the Red Cross extensively,
yeah.
And
yeah.
They have help. They didn't exactly have the kind of help that I had hoped for on the day of the fire. I wanted them to come and give shelter to the people who were displaced, because some people were displaced just for a few hours, you know, because the utilities were turned off and they lived too close. So I thought that they could come and give shelter and... dry, clean clothes, it didn't smell like smoke, this and that. And also, perhaps I've seen those trucks, like, come and give, it was so cold, give coffee and tea to all the first responders. So I'm not sure, you might know this, Greg, I was very surprised. So I don't know, this was Monmouth County Red Cross, so is each Red Cross run independently, state to state, county to county? Because on television, on the news, you always see the Red Cross show up at a fire and they give out coffee and they've got...
They're networked together, so they would have... You know,
the only thing Monmouth County does is... The Monmouth County Red Cross is provide financial help. If they determine that you qualify, they provide that you get a debit card. They could not come to the scene and give out coffee and tea. They wouldn't come to the scene and find shelter for people. Or clean clothes or anything like that. They were, interested, and well, that's not a good word, but you know, they were concerned and they felt terrible. But the only thing they do is after the fact provide some financial help if they decide that you qualify for that.
The Millstone Auxiliary came in with coffee and donuts.
Well, I'm just saying, but I was in touch with the Red Cross. They didn't do that. But I'm still in touch with them because they are. I gave them a list of people who probably do need some financial aid. So they're working on that. And I just heard from Carmela. Do you want me to read it?
Well, no.
No? You want to just that number?
Well, you can give. I mean, that's information. That's what it's going
to
cost for a budget thing.
Yeah.
It's not a strategy.
She actually, you can't find it because she did not give us the number.
Okay.
She said it will cost thousands of dollars to prepare a stormwater plan and to update all of our inlets and to modify the public works processes and to prepare a stormwater pollution prevention plan. I think this is at least $25,000 to $50,000 and maybe more. There is a meeting with NJDEP on Friday where they are offering grants to Tier B communities that are moved to Tier A, up to $75,000 for the expenses. I will be attending the meeting so I can find out how to apply for the funding. Also, I have not seen a permit issued to the borough. She said she asked you, and we haven't received one yet.
I think ours being held in abeyance given our appeal.
Well, I haven't seen anything.
Yeah. So basically she's saying $25,000 to $50,000 to just start.
Per year.
She doesn't say per year.
She said per year?
I mean, with this sort of thing, there's usually an upfront cost and then a revision.
Okay.
That's usually what it is. Like when they have to do the operating procedures for the plants every other year. Yeah. But you already have the baseline document, so I don't think you pay. I don't think you pay for the same thing twice.
I just asked her.
So those are the details we need to know to prepare for. This is like
More information is always good for making decisions.
Yeah. Details.
That's what I thought. Let's see if we can find out right now. So at this point, we're looking at $25,000 to $50,000. which is way more than what Greg will charge us to go to the meeting at first and see if he can fight for us.
So we can, I'll gather the information and bring it back here, and you guys tell me what you want to do.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Moving to adjourn.
Anything else, right? Oh, okay. You made your motion.
Too late.
Okay. Lou and Joe, motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting's adjourned
out
at 8:54.
No, I figured out how to shut down the mayor.